Angleton claims Andy's chair behind the desk, the privilege of the senior inquisitor, and Andy sits down next to me, while Derek stands at parade rest in front of the door, as if to stop me escaping. He's got some kind of box like a small briefcase, which he parks on the floor next to his feet.
"Speak," says Angleton.
"I did as you told me. Mo and I were talking. I kept it to non-classified while we were in public. I convinced her I needed to hear the full story, not just the official version, so we went back to her place. We were jumped in the hallway. Afterward, she told me enough that I thought there was a clear and present danger to her life. Did Andy tell you—" Angleton snaps his fingers at Derek. Derek, who is not my idea of an obedient flunky, nevertheless obediently passes him the briefcase, which he opens on the desk. It turns out to contain a small mechanical typewriter with a couple of sheets of paper already wound around the roller. He laboriously taps out a sentence, then turns the typewriter toward me. It says, "Secret Ogre Carnate Gecko," and I get an abrupt sinking feeling in my stomach.
"Before you leave this office, you will write down everything you remember about last night," he says tersely. "You will not leave this office until you have finished and signed off on the report. One of us will stay here with you until the job is done, and countersign that this is a true transcript, and that there were no uncleared witnesses. Once you leave this office, you will not see this document again. You will not, repeat not, discuss last night's events with anyone other than the participants and the people in this room without first obtaining written permission from one of us. Do you understand?"
Yeah. You're classifying everything under Ogre Carnate Gecko, and I'm not to discuss it with anyone who isn't cleared. Can I ask why the typewriter? I could email—"
Angleton looks at me witheringly. "Van Eck radiation."
He snaps his fingers. "But we're in the laundry," I protest silently. "The whole building is tempest shielded."
"Start typing, Bob."
I start typing. "Where's the delete key on this—" "Oh."
"You're typing on carbon paper, in triplicate. Once you finish, we burn the carbons, and the typewriter ribbon."
"You could have offered a quill pen. That'd be more secure, wouldn't it?" I peck away at the keyboard in a purposeful manner. After a minute or two, Angleton silently rises and ghosts out of the room. I peck on, occasionally swearing as I catch a fingernail under a key or jam a bunch of letters together. Finally, I'm done. One page of single-spaced, densely printed text, detailing the events of last night. I sign each copy and present them to Andy, who countersigns, then carefully inserts them into a striped cover folder and passes it to Derek, who writes out receipts for them and hands a copy to each of us. He leaves without a word. Andy walks round the desk, stretches, then looks at me.
"What am I going to do with you?"
"Huh? What's wrong?"
Andy looks morose.
"If I'd known you'd show such a well-developed talent for raking up the mud.
Comes of my hacking hobby before I came to the attention of—" "Look, I called the plumbers because I had reason to be afraid that Professor O'Brien, was in serious danger. Would you rather I hadn't?"
"No,"
he sighs.
For a moment he looks old.
"You did the right thing. It's just that the plumbing budget is chargeable to departmental accounts. That leaves us open to some rather nasty manoeuvring if the usual suspects decide it's an opportunity to extend their little empires. I'm wondering how the hell we're going to spin it past Harriet."
"Why don't you just tell—" "Oh."
"Yes," he nods at me. "You're beginning to catch on. Now run along and get back to work. I'm sure your in tray is overflowing."